expanding businesses, advancing leadership, building wealth. Kara's Business Summit is coming to Orlando, October 12th through 14th. Business experts Paul Milligan, Billy Epperhart, Dr. Dean Radke, and Dr. Lance Wallnau will deliver more advanced teaching and training, giving you a wealth of knowledge to take back to your business and implement immediately. VIP packages are also available. Check our website for more information or call 719-635-1111.
We're a little bit late, but we were sitting here visiting. I tell you what, I just am having a great time. Anyway, have you enjoyed Creflo? Isn't he a blessing? Praise God. Yeah. So, brother, we're ready.
Okay.
Whatever God has, you just give it to us.
You know, one of the things that I've come to understand is sometimes it's really good to hear from you. So you would have an opportunity, this question, if I ever had the opportunity to ask it, can I get this done? And you know, if I was here like every day, it would be one thing, but I'm just here today and then I'm out. And I think I could cover a broader spectrum of bringing some understanding to some things by giving you the opportunity to ask some questions. So if you don't mind, I'd like to use this last session to do just that, to know who's in the room. I mean, listen, if I can sit down and talk to rappers and not know what they're going to say when we're on live television, this is nothing, okay? So we'll have some mics. If you'll just raise your hands, the mics will come to you and present your question, and then we'll go from that point on. Yes.
Creflo, so many Christians have done what they would consider everything they know to do regarding finances, their tithing, their giving, their decreeing, declaring. They're doing everything they know to do regarding finances, and they're broke, and they're in bankruptcy. They've lost their homes. And these are good people, and I'm one of them. And so I think it's sad that most of the body of Christ is broke. And I was wondering, maybe you know why. What are we doing wrong?
The issue at hand is talking about, you know, why is it that we are doing all the things we know to do and we're still broke? And I'll start off by saying, because we don't know enough. You know, sometimes people say, well, I've done all I know to do. Well, obviously that's not enough. And another thing is, you know, you don't know exactly what people are doing, where they're giving and all that stuff is concerned, but somehow or another, it's when I decided to say, you know what, forget about all of this, God, I trust you. And my money was no longer seen as something that I gave to try to motivate something to happen. I completely moved from looking at this as my money to looking at this as my trust. And every single time I would sow this and say, this is my trust. And to the point where I wasn't even thinking about the money. I went from trying to get something to happen to, I don't care what happens. I just want to just focus in on you. I want to make sure that mammon didn't have an opportunity to come in, and now all of a sudden, my motivation for doing a lot of things is being motivated by mammon and trying to get something to happen, even though, you know, I wanted to get it to happen so I can be a blessing to the body of Christ. There's something about getting a word from God versus just the word of God. A word from God is the key to breakthrough. And a lot of times we're just doing the word of God, which is cool. But I think as you spend enough time meditating in the word of God, you'll get a word from God, and that's where breakthrough comes. Yeah. Sometimes the word from God is when God told you to do something for a situation. That was the breakthrough. A lot of times people don't, they kind of fear up, I call it, when God starts speaking to them about their money and what to do with it. And yet you're right on the brink of a breakthrough because God's trying to reveal to you a way to do something. And now just because it's dealing with money, you figure I'm not going to take that serious. Then 2 years go by and you're trying to figure out what happened. What happened was the opportunity came by and you didn't pay any attention to it because it was a word from God directing you to do a specific thing, a particular way. And when you did it, that happened to me. I got off the plane one time and went into the hangar and there was a plane sitting there. And God says, I need you to help me with this. I said, what do you need? He says, I want you to buy that airplane and give it to this particular couple. I said, okay, you know, and I went to the guy and I said, is the plane for sale? He said, no. I said, well, God just told me to buy it. And I said, well, I don't know what it is. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. He says, I'll be here. And he says, nothing's going to happen. This guy never turns a bit. We do business all the time. And I went home, prayed about it. I said, well, Lord, I believe I heard from you on this. And he didn't say anything. And I got up and went, and that guy showed up the next morning. And he came down walking to me and he said, boy, you must have prayed a prayer. I said, beg your pardon? He says, you must have prayed a prayer. He says, I'm telling you, I got a phone call late at night and the guy said he had changed his mind about this airplane and just, you know, told me that he wasn't going to do business and that never happened. And I thought about you. And he says, you're still interested? It's up for sale. I said, yes, sir, we want to do it. Obey God. Got it, did just what he said to do. And that was the seed I needed in order for our ministry to get our first international airplane. So don't neglect those days of visitation when God shows up to you with a word asking you to do something. Will you hear and will you obey? Hope that helps some.
My question is, with you on the TV preaching the gospel of grace, which is the true gospel that transforms lives, we've got Andrew teaching the same thing and Joseph Prince teaching the same thing. This is something that I think 15, 20 years ago wasn't happening. So what is your personal conviction of what is God doing here in the world? Because this is worldwide. What do you think is going on in the spiritual realm?
A table is being prepared. And we're having the opportunity to come and feast at that table and to eat things that have not been on that table in times past. And, you know, I believe that out of necessity, if you stay connected to something that is decaying, you'll decay with it. And then out of necessity, you'll find you need to come over here and start preaching this gospel of grace. I see this message. I see Jesus in these last days as a feast that he's laying out for whoever wants to come and to eat of this feast. And I believe with all of my heart, I caution myself sometimes referring to it as a message. I have to do that a lot, but I'm talking about him. I'm talking about Jesus full of grace and truth. And I see some very interesting things happening. I see a unity taking place right now. I felt kind of lonely out there until I got a chance to know Andrew, until I got a chance to know Joseph. I don't feel lonely anymore because I know that there's at least one more guy in this country who believes the same thing. So I just preach everything he preaches. It's something you can't deny the truth that's right in your eyes. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, it's right there. It's been there the whole time. And this spread that's being put out, I believe it's a promise that God made that in these last days that there will be a feast prepared. And I believe that what we're experiencing now is that feast that's being prepared for the whole world to come and to eat from him. Yep. Ooh, you got me stirred up. I felt something like that in the city of my soul. I don't live by my chill bumps, but my God, brother, we about to have church in here on that one now. Who's next? Mike. Just whoever y'all go to will be fine.
This is not, this is just to say thank you. I've been following you for a long, long time. And you've been teaching on the origin of the enemy. It has transformed my life to know the enemy and his tactics. There's a lot of ministers don't talk about the enemy, but the way that you have been teaching lately, I mean, it is awesome. It is just magnificent. And I've been following you for so many years, and I listen to Andrew. Andrew is my number one. You come in there second place.
Hey, I'm just glad to be in the number.
And what you were talking about, you know, being obedient to God and doing what he tells you to do. And I have, we have sown into your ministry as well. But last year we were sown into Andrew's ministry, and God spoke to me. And he says, I want you to up that giving. And I'm like, Lord? He says, I want you to up the giving into Andrew's, into that ministry. Because we sow a lot of seeds in different ministries. He said, but that one is in your back door. So I listened to the Holy Spirit. So since we started doing that, we have a business in Cripple Creek. So since we've been doing that, I cannot tell you what my God has been doing.
Gone now.
I mean supernaturally.
Gone now. Supernatural.
Hallelujah. I mean supernaturally. And even coming here today on this property, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, I want you up your giving again one more time.
You better do it.
I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I just thank God for what you all are doing. Being obedient is changing people's lives. We'd run a little ministry out of Cripple Creek in a casino town. People are getting saved, delivered. And by you all teaching, it's helping me to minister to these people out here. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Ooh. Lord, I'm just thinking that a lot of people are here. That same instruction, up your giving. Yes, sir.
Hey, good evening, Creflo. Just wanted to say thank you also for sowing into my life personally over the past 20 years. It's been awesome. But I wanted to just thank you for your courage to step into this gospel of grace. Because I knew what you were up against, sort of. But I appreciate that. Now, my questions are, I have two quick questions, which are not real deep. So you might not get the goosebumps or anything. Okay. One is, when you first got that revelation, when the light bulb went off on grace, what did you say to Taffy? And then, when are we going to see the Creflo, Andrew, and Joseph convention?
Well, July, what? Well, what did I say, Taffy? Absolutely nothing. Because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what was going on there. But the second question is, we're actually going to have the first grace convention in July. Joseph was trying to make it, but he couldn't. But Andrew Farley will be there. Some of these people are just amazing when you hear him. Michael Smith, who is like a brilliant scientist that just takes it apart, and you look at it and you're like, this guy's head is just too big. So we're going to come together for 5 days, five sessions a day. And I think that's July, I think. It's July. Yeah, Monday through Friday. So we'll start off at the Dome. We'll grow it. We'll see, you know, where we end up. But this is something I feel like when people were dealing with faith, I feel like these are my friends. We can come together and we can present such a balanced message that this table that we talked about, that we can have it prepared every year, once a year, just have it prepared. And it can become something that people can plan their time around, come in, and all the things we do individually, we'll never be able to compare with what we can do when we come together. And so we'll start where we are. It'll be an awesome time. They'll go out and spread the word. They'll come back, it'll increase a little bit. I'll adjust the dome to the number of seats and then remove it, and we'll grow out of that and just kind of see where we end up in. I wouldn't have any problems we ended up in some football stadium somewhere with a bunch of grace people that were radical and all that kind of stuff. Huh? Yeah, yeah. You know, so, yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Question in the back.
All the way back here. Hey, everyone. Creflo, were you aware of Azusa Now happening the same day that you were in D.C. doing the prayer, the United
Was I
Prayer?
Aware? Were you in California?
From my living room, yes, I was.
Yeah, I was in D.C. where it was sleeting and cold and raining and lots of big puddles that came up to your ankle. When I did that speech, it's something that's just been on my heart. There's lots of things that's been going on that needed to be said and hadn't been said, and that was my opportunity to say what was said. And I think they streamed it from D.C. to California, and they were in some stadium somewhere, but I was like hot and I'm sitting up here, you know, cold. But yeah, that was a very interesting day. It was also a day where we really could touch some leaders, and that was the day where I had the opportunity to just really love on people. And every time they did an interview and they're like, "What's going on in your life?" And it's God's unmerited favor that's going on in my life. Let's talk about that. And it was so amazing that people who did want me on their national syndicated radio programs and on their stuff, I was all over the place talking about this unmerited favor. And they were trying to figure out what is going on with him. And so I got ready to leave, and Dr. King's daughter, I think it was Bernice, came up at the end, and we took a couple of shots together, and then we took off and went to New York. I was aware of that, but we've drafted a letter that we're going to be sending to the president by the end of the month. And we're really wanting to just kind of rattle some things just a little bit, but we want to do it to bring attention to not only what we're preaching, but that God's not about to throw this nation away no matter what happens. And it may be reduced to the size of a stump, but it will grow back again and bloom very well. Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, there you go.
Cliff, the dollar is here preaching. I saw a vision of you in a prayer closet. You were working on a desk, and it's a journal. It is dated from August of 14 till now. And every day you've been putting little tips and bits that God's been giving you. And God said now's the time to get that book published, because it'll set the body of Christ free, not only through the persecution that you have been having, but God said it'll set the body of Christ free.
Well, the name of that book is Authorized by Grace, and it has been sitting on my desk. Yep. Yep. It's been sitting on my desk, me thinking, I'm like, I like it. Really bless me. And thank you for that, brother. I received that. Thank you so much. Yes, a blessing. Ooh, I came here and got blessed. My God.
Yeah, Creflo, I just want to say thank you. I've been listening to you and Andrew for a few years, and it's just the gospel of grace just set me free. But yeah, I just had a question. I heard you talking about, you know, sowing and reaping, you know, the principle. And I think I heard you mention something about a principle of uprooting bad seeds in some way. Is there any way you could elaborate on that a little bit?
Uprooting bad seeds. I'm not quite sure I'm following you. Uprooting bad seed. I mean, you can uproot bad seeds. I'm trying to recall what I had to say about that. I don't know what I had to say about it, but you can uproot any bad seed. Is your question geared more to finances, or because I I also teach that when people have been saying the wrong things, that those are some bad seeds, that they can uproot that as well. What specifically would you be interested in?
Just, you know, words speaking, you know, speaking bad seeds. And
yeah. Well, seeds are, words are spiritual containers. And, you know, God put his faith in those little small containers, and we call them words. But at the same time, if we're not sensitive to how we sow seeds, it's incorruptible seed. It's seed that'll produce all the time. It's seed that'll never fail. It's the seed that we were born with, born again with. And one of the things that I think is so important to understand about a seed is that if the greatest enemy to poverty and lack is a seed, but also the greatest friend to poverty and lack can be a seed. Whatever we're going to do in life, there's such authority that has been invested in our word seed and anything else that comes as a result of being seed in our lives. Seed your way into success. Seed your way into deliverance. You don't have to just sit there and tolerate something. You've been given authority over a seed. Use it and make your way prosperous and have good success. But in everything that I have seen in my life, it involved a seed somehow, some way. Whether it's a do-good seed for me to do good when good wasn't done to me. And the challenge of I'm going to sow a do-good seed here, even though, you know, I did that with a guy who was talking about me for 3 or 4 years on his radio broadcast, and he had some drive that he needed something, and I sent him the money for the whole thing. Well, he cried all week long. Then they fired him. And then they hired him back on another station, and he figured he don't want to do that anymore, so he started back talking about me. So I just called him and said, well, seems to me that you just need me in order to have a program, so just go ahead and help yourself with it. Well, it didn't work, and he ended up. But I sowed the do-good seed, and the do-good harvest came up in my life to do that. So, you know, you're never going to be stranded by the seeds that you've sown in the past, because you have an opportunity to sow new ones. And the case in point in the Bible, where Peter denied, it was Peter, wasn't it? Denied Jesus 3 times.
Yes.
You remember when Jesus came up? You noticed when Jesus came back, he said, do you loveth thou me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, he said it just enough to put to death that those denial seeds. And I just believe that's when the power of God began to take off in his life. Amen. Just speak. Yeah.
Creflo, I was just thanking you for that message on dependability, but there's another question that comes up in my life as far as what does it look like being dependent upon God, asking, and then the other side of that, being authoritative and declaring, because I found myself in 2 seasons where there was a time when it seemed all I was doing was declaring and doing all these things, you know, speaking the word, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I found myself, it was more, I'm listening to the word that's being brought forth now, and I'm just trying to find that balance where it's not always me trying to get God to do something by me speaking and declaring as opposed to, I'm just trying to find the balance, that middle ground of what that looks like.
Your authority that has been given to you by God Almighty, that's his power. You have a right to use that power. And so what happens is you that is you depending on God. That's given to us by God's grace. That's you depending on God. You have to just change the way you think about it. I'm not declaring the word and releasing my authority over this to try to get God to do something. I'm doing it because he's already done something. And because of what he's already done, and because I depend on him, I boldly open my mouth up and declare things, and I make use of his power, and I walk around all day believing I've received it. You good, man?
I'm over here. So 2002, I didn't know your name or anything, but a brother in Christ, I was given a diagnosis of a rare, incurable, untreatable cancer. And I went to every altar for prayer that ever opened up. And one of the brothers gave me a little cassette tape. Remember cassette tapes? And it had scriptures read by you on healing, healing scriptures. I would listen to that sometimes 2 and 3 times a night because I couldn't sleep. And I want to thank you for that. Now I got family members that are always calling me up. Okay, pray for me, Sherry, pray for me, Aunt Sherry. And how do you coax your own people around you, family members, to walk in divine healing?
Well, what I tell my family is they say, pray for me, I say, no, I'm going to teach you how to release your authority. You speak to your body. And you use any anger as a passion to be directed by the devil. And you tell your body to submit to healing. And if whatever's on you, you command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And you walk away from that believing you received it in Jesus' name. And if the pain comes back, you do it again. The reason why I'm thinking about when I took my daughter back to school, I had this pain in my tailbone for a year. And I kept going to God praying about it. And we were in the car, and the Lord said, I've heard your prayer, and have you noticed you still have the pain? He said, son, you have the power to rid yourself of this. I went to the hotel room. I was speaking that night. I spoke to my body, and I said, healing's real. I command you to submit to it. And then I said, pain, I need you to listen to me. You will no longer have any right or authority to settle in on my tailbone. This day I evict you. Get out. Get off. Stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bam, the pain gone. I'm like, ooh, what happened? I sat on concrete. I sat on wood. I sat on iron. And it wasn't there. And for that whole day, I enjoyed it not being there. The next day, enjoyed it not being there. The third day it came back, I said, did you hear me? Do you think I was playing with you? I hadn't had any problems since. Yes. I hadn't had any problems since. And, you know, this is what I'm trying to instruct our entire congregation. Periodically, I'd have them to stand up or to come up, and I'd have them to do that, and then I'd follow up with agreeing with them and for 100%, you know, and I tell them, don't stop just because I pray for you one time. If you want to stay here and tell me, well, it's getting better. Well, if it's getting better, let's just keep getting it better until it's gone. Amen. And I have seen some of the, you know, we've seen blind eyes open in our church, ears pop open, folks hop out of chairs, all kinds of stuff to go on. And it's just been a blessing teaching them that they had this authority all the while. Yeah.
Hey, Creflo. Bless you.
Okay, there you go.
I was waving. I have a question. Probably for the last 5 years, I've noticed that a lot of Christians, good faith-believing Christians, are just growing discontent mm-hmm. with church, mm-hmm. and they're falling away from going to church, and they seem to be a little displaced. I'm kind of among that. Well, not really anymore. You know, the Lord has placed me someplace, thank God. And so my question is, do you know what's happening, why that's happening, or what's about to happen? Because this is happening with a lot of people that I talk to just on a regular basis who just don't want to go to their local churches anymore because of religion.
One of the things, I wrote a paper on this, it was about cynicism. And the cynicism that's so rampant in the church these days. There are a couple of things that you have to look for. If you're going to a church that doesn't understand the gospel, then I can understand why they don't want to go back anymore. And the reason why they don't want to have to go back anymore, because religion keeps telling you what you have to do, and you've done it, and it tells you you need to do more of it, and you've done it, and it tells you you still hadn't done enough, and you've done it, and you know what? I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. And then you go to church, and then the preacher looks at you, and He tells you everything you know about yourself. He tells you you're no good. I know it. He tells you you're on your way to hell. Know that too. And then you figure, well, why go? He's just going to tell me what I already know. So I might as well stay home, smoke some weed, and not have to go there and listen to him tell me what I already know about myself. That's why it is so important for this message to be ministered, because this is liberating the lives of people. They're understanding who Jesus is. They're understanding the power of God's word. I'm telling you right now, had I not understood this, I would have quit. I'd have left the ministry. I'd have opened my practice back up, and I would have said, that stuff doesn't work. I'm telling you right now, because it was getting old and I was getting tired. And it wasn't working. I was doing everything I knew to do, everything they told me to do. I did it as long as they told me to do it. I was faithful to do it. And they said, well, I'm like, when is it going to happen? They say, hold on. And then I said, I've been holding on. They say, hold on just a little while longer. And I was holding on a little while longer. And then I just fell. And I couldn't hold on no more. And I'm telling you, out of necessity, if you hang on to that which is decaying, then you're going to decay with it. And that's what's happening. And I believe when people come to the place where they can see the light of this glorious gospel, and we pray that this revelation show up in the lives of people, you're just seeing a weird adjustment right now. There's going to come a time where not only those people are going to come back, but there's the floodgates are about to open. I said the floodgates are about to open. I said the floodgates are about to open. And I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by crowds. I'm not moved by attendance. I'm not moved by the finances. I trust God. And I'm telling you, man, we are right slap dab in the middle of something good. But if you go to some of these places, I mean, you get worn out too. You get worn out too. I mean, you're tired of the preacher controlling you. If you don't come to choir practice tonight, you're going to die and go to hell. And, you know, if you don't tithe, God's going to curse you and hate you forever. And, you know, you just get tired of that. You're like, yeah, I heard that. And it looks like nobody's prospering but him. So that's not how it's supposed to go.
Pastor Dollar, what have you and your wife, Mrs. Dollar, found to be key wisdom or keys of wisdom to allow longevity in ministry and also to have accomplished all that you all have within these years of ministry?
God is our source. God is our source. Sometimes we have to be careful not to think that we're our source. God is our source. Taffy and I have made our mind up that we're partners, that we're going to have a grace-based relationship in marriage. In that grace-based relationship in marriage, we will not hold one another in bondage to the laws that we've created and have been created around marriage, and that God is going to be our source. And that's the whole issue with the Sabbath. It's the shadow of it in the old covenant. It seemed like it dealt with the days. But when you come over here and see where Jesus is, it's all about resting in him as your source. And that's no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, right in the middle of, you know, some hailstorm, we're together saying all is well. And it's been working for us. And we plan on sticking with it. She just recently decided that she's going to hang around for 120 years with me before she says, I ain't staying there that long. She says, I don't want to stay here and get on nobody's nerves. She says, you know what? I think I will stay around a little bit and get on some people's nerves. So I'm glad. I said, well, Taffy, if you leave me here, I mean, what am I supposed to do? She says, well, I give you permission to get another wife. I said, I don't want another wife at that age, baby. I said, just hang around. I mean, you're like wine. We've spent all this time getting it together. Just hang around. She said, I'll think about it. And I don't know what happened, but she just came up and says, well, I think I am going to hang around a little bit. So I'm glad she's going to hang around a little bit. Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Speak and I will find you.
Dr. Creflo?
Yes.
Hi. Regarding servanthood in the body of Christ, like when it comes to a person being qualified, you know, how religion has to qualify people to serve. What is your What do you think of that? Like, to serve in the body with the youth or on a choir, in the choir, and when they start giving you the bylaws and things that you can and cannot do, such as you can't drink, things of that nature. What is your stance on that?
I have to be careful to answer this question.
Yeah.
Yes. Somewhere around here, I know if I go away, I don't want you leaving here tonight saying, I'm going to go home and get drunk.
No.
It's all right to do that.
No.
I have no problems with people trying to understand the protocols of the house.
Okay.
Because that's the way they decide to do a thing. I have no problem with that. I think people need to know how to behave in the house of God.
Yes.
And there are boundaries that are set, and there are agreed protocols that to be carried out. And a lot of that is to protect the whole, you know,
Yeah. Knowing
who's in servanthood, knowing about their life, knowing about what's going on. The Apostle Paul was concerned about how people behaved. And this is the guy who wrote most of the stuff on grace. He's very concerned about your behavior.
Yeah.
He's concerned about whether or not you have ever encountered this grace based on the fruit that you bear. And I would say to people who find themselves in an uncomfortable situation sometimes, mm-hmm. I had to submit when it wasn't all right. Yeah. But when I made the decision to submit anyway as an honor to God,
Yes. Then,
you know, the blessing of God came on my life instead of trying to rebel against whatever that set authority was, I'm not going to do that. So I'll just trust God that I'm here for a reason and he'll show me what I need to do. But my job is not to come in and disrupt a thing because maybe I don't agree with the particulars or how they're doing something. Yes. I think when it ever gets to that point where you feel like you're going to, you know, spread sedition in that church, it's probably time for you to leave and not be a part of that sedition.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I think I kind of wiggled around there trying to figure out what you can. Okay.
Creflo, here I am. You know, there's a lot of us here that are students at this Bible college, and we feel really special to be students at the greatest Bible college in the world. And on top of that, to have an intimate session like this with you is really special. The question I have is, there's three. One is, at what age were you born again? The second is, at what age did you start preaching? And the third is, what did you do in between there?
Okay, I think it goes like this. 20, 24, and what did I do in between what now?
To get to preaching.
Oh, what did I do in between? I was trying to figure out what was happening with my life. I wanted to be a professional football player. And so the last thing in the world I wanted to do was be a preacher. That was just not going to happen. It was nowhere in my plans. And how it happened was every time I'd go somewhere, some prophet would come up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And no matter where I went, that some prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord." And I that was a weird time for my life, trying to figure out all this, "Thus saith the Lord." Then I finally I accepted some speaking engagement to go and talk. I wouldn't say I preached, but I went and talked. And the whole church got saved, including the preachers, the deacon board, and everybody else. So I'm like, what is this? So I'm in college, right? And some girl walked up to me and she says, "You seem different." I said, "I'm a Christian. I made Jesus the Lord of my life." She said, "Tell me about it." I told her about it. She bought two or three more friends. And I said, told them the same thing. They got born again and got somebody else and told them the same thing. And next thing you know, I'm in the room. There are 150 people in there hearing. And I'm like, I'm not going to preach. I'm just here to tell y'all what happened to me. And this is just wouldn't leave me alone. So one thing led to another. I had an injury in the beginning of a football season where I transferred from West Virginia closer to home, and it just didn't work. Some weird injury behind a hernia injury, And oh dear God, I had to go in and have it operated. I lost 20 pounds, and you know, that was devastating. You spend all those years putting that weight on, da da da. So now I'm got to start all over again. And so I saw the big comeback story, you know, and hey, it didn't happen like that. And I said, God, if you let me go out one more time, and then I promise I'll do whatever you want me to do. And you know, as they went in to operate, I kind of heard, you know, this voice, you're going to do what I need to do. And it's a casket Bible under. Some kid says, is Mr. Dollar dead? I woke up, no, I'm not dead. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, what's happening in my life? It's crazy, crazy moments there. So eventually I got it. And he used my biggest love for my wilderness experience to prepare me for everything that I needed to do, and then step right into it. Started World Changes campus ministry and moved from campus. And we were radical. We had a Bible study on every floor in every dorm on the campus. And, you know, after that, started Bible studies, was an assistant Baptist pastor, served that pastor. I was a Baptist pastor with the robe and the hoop and everything. All that stuff. Until one day I was hooping and I got choked up, and my wife called me, and well, she wasn't my wife at the time. She called me, and the power of God came over her. I'll never forget this. She won't forget it either. And she gave me the word of the Lord. God hadn't called you to be hollering and screaming like that. He called you to preach, to teach the word with simplicity and understanding to his people, and hung the phone up. And I thought, dear God, what's gotten into this woman? Did I answer your question?
Thank you for coming, Creflo.
You're welcome.
What would you say to the word that says we have a cross, pick up your cross and follow me? How do you interpret that?
Well, the cross represents a place at that time of death. And when we're talking about, you know, anything about a cross, for us, it represents a whole lot. It represents the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. It gives us this new covenant of grace. It gives us the opportunity to take hold of all of the things that have been finished for us. And yet, and if it wasn't Jesus on the cross, for others, it represented something terrible. They die on the cross. For me, I'm taking up everything that was accomplished on that cross by the grace of God. And that's what it means to me. It means that on that cross, he shed his blood, and I am delivered. I am set free. I am the righteousness of God. I am everything that he's accomplished. The Zoe package was wrapped up nice and neat and put a bow on. And if I can just believe it and receive it. It was no different than a manger. Why would they put him in a manger? Because one day he would say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and he will have part of me. Now, they freaked out when they said that in those days, but now we have a clear understanding of what that means. Will I bring myself to accept fully all that he's done for me? Can I accept fully? I've accepted fully what Jesus has done for me. Now, you know, I don't really get into the thing of a physical cross. You know, do you want to have it in church? I just don't get into all that, but symbolically for me, that's where it all changed. That was the dividing line between the law and the grace of God. And thank God that he loved me enough to get on that cross, to take all my sins on his body and to pay the price. So people don't go to hell for sinning. They go to hell for rejecting the payment that Jesus offered to them. That's what it means to me. Ooh, you about got me shouting on that one. Oh. Thank you.
Creflo, this question is coming from Nathaniel, who's watching live online.
Okay.
If I can see the question there, Jeff. Yes. He's wondering, how do you balance teaching spiritually mature believers in your congregation while still providing the foundational teaching for new believers in the congregation?
You know, I found out that professionals, especially if you're a pilot, the thing you practice over and over again are the basics. And it's an understanding of the basics that makes you successful. And, you know, you can always take something basic, teach it, and the revelation will flow out of it, and everybody gets what they're needing. But you never approach any church, because you don't know what you have in that church, with the idea of they're baby Christians and they're mature Christians, and this is now where you're really depending on God. Lord, this is what you want me to preach, and I depend on you to show me how to do it. And so it's one of those things where, again, you're dependent on Jesus. How do you want me to share this? How do you want me to talk about this? And sometimes I get up and I start talking and I end up way over here somewhere. And I come back and I think, well, that must have been for somebody here. And I'll go over here, and it's like the Lord's just orchestrating the whole thing. Now, that doesn't mean you get up and say, well, I didn't have to study because, you know, the Lord's just going to take over. Well, you need to study to show yourself approval, buddy. So I study and prepare. And you know, Andrew doesn't use notes, but I use notes. And there's no right or wrong way. One reason I use notes is because to help me reel me back in. And I'm thinking like, oh, my goodness. And that reeled me back in after I finished going everywhere. And so I won't sit up there and say, okay, don't know why I'm here. Don't know what I'm supposed to be saying. So my notes kind of helped me to pick up. But you totally depend on Jesus to help to guide you in doing that. And there are times, too, there are certain times I don't use notes at all because there's something working on the inside of me, and I need it to be born. I've studied it. I've looked at it. You know, Andrew will look at something for like a year and not even preach it until, isn't that about right? About not even talk about it or say anything about it for a whole year. I get in the place of something and teach something that I've known about all my life, and this revelation starts, it's born at that particular time, and I got to go back and look at what happened, what was said, to make sure now that I don't cause confusion in my church, and then can refer back to the basics where I can now build them up to that point. So a revelation will take place in my church. I'll back all the way back, find the string, walk all the way through to the string, then lay it out, and then we all can benefit from what that revelation was that God shared. Or I have Andrew will come to the church, and so he'll preach something. Now, as a pastor, one of the things I want to do is make sure I take full advantage of the word of the Lord that came to my church. So I don't want him to just come and leave and that's over. So he'll come and he'll preach something. Then I may spend 7 more weeks talking about the one thing he said. Because if I believe it's a word of the Lord, I want to make sure they got it. And that's the job of a pastor. If I got somebody there and I believe they're bringing the word of the Lord, and they bring the word of the Lord, and the only time we hear it is that day when he brought it. Tell you what, you need to evaluate how you're pastoring. If that is something for your congregation and church, you need to spend time in it. You need to take time. You cover all the areas that he didn't have time to cover, set the basic, the foundation, walk them up to that point. So now they have that and they now own it as theirs. Yep.
Dr. Dollar, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you again for coming, and tell Miss Taffy hi.
I will.
I remember seeing you years ago when you were first on television. You've matured well.
I'm just going to say, don't tell people how many years ago.
What I was going to say is, I followed you quite a long time. I partnered with you, my husband and I have. And I've noticed that revelation has come forth. You know, things that you hadn't grasped earlier, you're grasping now. Notice the same thing with Andrew. You know, different things that he's talked about, like the grace message. And I'm just wondering, are you curious about what other treasures are in the Word of God, revelations that you haven't quite found yet that God is, you know, do you pray about that, and do you wonder what else is in there?
Oh, that's the whole beauty of the thing. The whole beauty of every day is, what will I discover today? The whole beauty of looking at a scripture that I've seen 100,000 times and then looking at it one day and seeing something I've never seen before. The Word of God is pregnant. You can't exhaust it. And that's the wonderful thing about this relationship with Jesus, is that once you get in it, there are new adventures all the time. Yes, ma'am, I do. Yes, ma'am, I do. We got
Quick question on leadership. How do you make the best out of your time and your people? You've got 20 seconds.
Okay. One word, schedule, and making sure that I bring with that schedule the plan that comes from God for us to do. So we put that schedule together. We establish those protocols. Micromanagement is good to show people around and show them what they need to do, but I like to empower leaders. And as we empower those leaders, we get the benefit of all of the talents and the anointings they have that I'll never get the benefit without empowering them as leaders to bring things to the table.
Hallelujah. Let's give God praise for what he's done here today. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Creflo, we're going to claim you as a CBC instructor. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Father, we just pray for Creflo and pray that he's been refreshed today as he's given and stuff. And we pray that you give him deeper revelation, show him new truths every day. And we just thank you for being at work in his life and the things you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're here at Charis. We're going to walk the halls and we're going to find some students to talk to and get their opinion about Charis Bible College.
Come to Charis, because if you want to feel fulfilled, if you want to feel like you can conquer the world, this is the place to be.
It will absolutely change your life.
You can go out more powerfully and have a better impact than you would without coming.
You're around believers who encourage you and push you in the right direction that God's called you to be.
You should come to Charis because it's going to change your life. This is really the truth. The Bible says that the truth is going to set you free, so you should come here for the truth.